This is Audible.
Belinda presents this unabridged recording of Garden of the Purple Dragon by Carol Wilkinson. Read by Caroline Lee. The dedication reads, for Marinus Willem de Visser, 1875 to 1930, the ultimate Sino-Dracologist. Glossary. Chang. A measure of distance equal to about 2.3 meters. Cinnabar, a bright red mineral whose chemical name is mercuric sulfide. Han Dynasty. A period in Chinese history when the emperors all belonged to a particular family. It lasted from 202 BCE to 220 CE. Han Foot. A measure of length equal to about 23 centimeters. Jade, a semi-precious stone also known as nephrite. Its color varies from green to white. Jin, the measure of weight for gold. Jujube, a name for the fruit known as the Chinese date. Li, a measure of distance equal to about half a kilometer. Qi, according to traditional Chinese beliefs, Qi is the life energy that flows through us and controls the workings of the body. Shu, a measure of weight equal to about half a gram. Chapter 1. Black Dragon Pool. The chatter of cascading water was the only sound that could be heard. It tumbled down a cliff and collected in a wide, dark pool. Beneath the surface, darker shadows circled. The slender, darting bodies of fish and larger, oval shapes. Clumps of reeds grew among black rocks in the shallows. Further along the bank, delicate ferns pushed through a scatter of smooth black pebbles. One of the dark oval shapes drifted slowly to the surface. It was a turtle. A swirling current caught it and tugged it towards the rim of the pool. The turtle paddled its webbed feet to keep from being carried over the edge, where water spilt out of the calm pool and hurried on its journey down the side of the mountain. A dragonfly balanced on the surface of the pool. Its slender legs were blood red. Its long, thin body was a startling blue, like a splinter of sunlit sky that had fallen to earth. The insect had two pairs of delicate wings crisscrossed with black veins. Each wing was marked with an eye spot. It could have been a precious jewel dropped by a careless princess. The dragonfly's wings whirred, and it took off. It buzzed to a reed, and then from the reed to a rock. A shadow fell on the dragonfly. A bundle of reeds swooped through the air and landed on it with a thwack, squashing it flat. Ping picked up the dead dragonfly and put it in the leather pouch that hung from her belt, adding it to her collection of crushed caterpillars and flattened moths. A breeze disturbed the reeds. There was a sharp chill in the air that meant winter wasn't far away. Ping gazed into the distance. She had been looking out at the same view for half a year, but she hadn't tired of it yet. It was a clear day, and mountain peaks stretched before her like a crowd of giants. Pine forests covered the lower, gentler slopes. On the higher, steeper slopes, there were only a few twisted pines perched like vultures wherever their roots could get a hold. Among the dull green of the pines were a few trees tinted with the oranges and reds of autumn. Sunlight glinted off a distant lake. Ping sometimes felt like she was living in one of the paintings that hung in Huang Ling Palace. She had once believed that such landscapes only existed in the imagination of artists. Now she knew they were real. Behind her, the sheer cliffs of Tai Shan blotted out the sky. Ping preferred to look to the south, where the mountain peaks were smaller and softer and didn't bring back memories she would rather forget. The peace of the afternoon was disturbed by a harsh squawk. Ping closed her eyes and sighed. The squawking grew louder, more persistent. It sounded like something was being strangled. She didn't hurry. She walked over to a stand of pine trees. They were small trees, less than twice Ping's height, gnarled and twisted. The squawking turned into a continuous screech. She stood beneath a particular tree with her hands on her hips. "Long Kai Duan," she said crossly, "I told you not to climb trees." A small creature was clinging upside down to one of the highest branches. It was covered in purple scales, the color of violets in sunshine. Down its back was a row of sharp spines. Its tail was wrapped around the branch. It had large paws that seemed much too big for its body. Each paw had four sharp black talons that were all digging into the tree bark. The little creature turned its upside-down head towards Ping. Bright green eyes blinked anxiously. The creature's straight snout ended in a fat pink nose with quivering nostrils. Its large mouth opened wide to let out another squawk, revealing sharp little teeth and a long red tongue. It was a small dragon, not much bigger than a cat or a hare. The bark under the creature's front talons came away from the branch. The little dragon's cry became more shrill. The talons on its back paws couldn't support its full weight. The dragon let go of the branch and was left dangling by its tail. It whimpered. Ping climbed onto a rock and reached up to the dragon. It clung onto her outstretched arm, digging its talons into her flesh. "That hurts," Ping said. But if the dragon understood, it took no notice. Ping slipped on the rock's smooth surface and skidded down on her bottom, landing with a thud on the hard earth. The dragon let go of her arm, gave her a sharp nip on the nose, and scuttled off. Ping rubbed her nose. "If that's your way of saying thank you, I'd rather you didn't bother." She examined the scratches on her arm. Both arms were covered with claw marks, some fresh, some healed to scars. She heard a splash. Kai had decided that tree climbing was too dangerous and had gone to swim in the pool. It was his favorite pastime, one that kept him happy for hours. He was a strong swimmer, and as comfortable in the water as he was out of it. But Ping still watched him anxiously. She couldn't swim. And the times when she'd found herself in deep water, she'd been terrified. Ping had needed a place to bring up a small purple dragon. A secluded place where no one would disturb them, where Kai could run around without being seen. She didn't have a lot of experience of the Empire. She knew of only one place where no one ever went. Tai Shan, the sacred mountain that she had climbed with the young emperor when he had sought the blessing of heaven at the beginning of his reign. Only the emperor and his shamans were allowed to climb past a certain point known as the Halfway to Heaven Gate. To do so without imperial permission was punishable by death. The flight from Taishan to Ocean on the back of Lung Dancer, Kai's father, had taken less than a day. It had taken her a week to walk back to Taishan. Carrying newly hatched Kai, she had climbed up the imperial path, passed beneath the Halfway to Heaven Gate, and into the forbidden area. Then she left the path, cutting across the steep slopes. Liu Che, the young emperor, had mentioned a pool to the west. Black Dragon Pool. It sounded grim, but with a dragon name, it would be an auspicious place to raise Kai. Black Dragon Pool wasn't as forbidding as it sounded. The cascade collected in a rocky depression, where the steep slopes of Taishan leveled out briefly to form a small plateau. The water wasn't black. It was the rocks that gave the pool its color. There was a grove of pine trees around one side of the pool and a narrow meadow on the other. The plateau was sunlit for most of the day. Ping had found roots, mushrooms, and berries to add to the simple meals she made with grain and lentils. There were also fish in the stream. By the time Kai had tired of the pool, the sun was an orange ball on the jagged horizon. The lake in the distance reflected the same color, as if molten liquid from inside the sun had leaked onto the earth. Ping shaded her eyes to enjoy the spectacle while it lasted. Then she went back to stirring the pot of fish soup that she had prepared over a small fire. She felt guilty for catching the fish, which swam up to her so innocently when she bathed in the shallows, but she needed more than roots and berries to eat. She had to conserve her small store of grain and lentils for winter. The turtles would have made a welcome change from fish, but Ping couldn't bring herself to kill them. Apart from the baby dragon, the turtles were her only companions. A bleating sound reminded her that this wasn't quite true. "Yes, you're a companion too," she said to a she-goat tethered to a nearby tree. "In fact, I get more sense out of you than Kai." Ping sat by the goat and milked her. She didn't have to call the dragon. He was there before she set the bowl of warm milk on the ground, slurping it up with his long tongue, his front paws in the bowl. Milk splashed on his nose. The goat bleated again. "You also have better manners than he does," Ping said. She sat next to the fire, warming her hands. The baby dragon had grown. He was now 10 times the size of the tiny creature that had hatched from the dragonstone into her lap. And he needed 10 times as much food. When Kai had finished licking the bowl dry, he squawked plaintively. "I've got something else for you," Ping said. She pulled the dragonfly from the pouch around her waist. Kai snatched it from her. Ping let go before he bit her fingers. His long snout snuffled around her pouch looking for more. "I wish you'd start catching your own meals," Ping grumbled, giving him a caterpillar. Kai swallowed it whole. Then he gobbled down the other 5 caterpillars in Ping's pouch. He sat back on his haunches and belched. Ping hoped that meant he was finally satisfied. After walking around in a circle 3 times on the edge of Ping's gown, the little dragon settled down. He was asleep almost immediately. When the old green dragon had flown off to the Isle of the Blessed, leaving her on the shores of Ocean with a dragon hatchling in her care, Ping had had no idea what to do next. Dancer had told her she was the dragon keeper and that she would know what to do. It was a heavy responsibility for a girl of 10 and 2 years. She didn't want to stay on the beach. She didn't like ocean. It was overwhelmingly huge. She felt insignificant enough as it was, without being dwarfed by the endless waters of ocean. The beach where Kai had hatched from the Dragonstone was a long way from any town or village, but that didn't mean it was always deserted. Fishermen came to the shore to launch their flimsy bamboo and goat hide boats, and Ping knew she had to keep away from people. If anyone saw Kai, the news of a baby dragon would soon spread from person to person, village to village. She didn't want that. Though Diao, the dragon hunter, was dead, there would be others who saw dragons only as creatures to chop up and sell. She'd already had to confront one of them, a necromancer. He'd captured her and Dunsa, and had taken the dragon stone. He had powers beyond understanding that he used only for evil. He was a shape-changer, too, like the old dragon. Ping felt a flash of pride. She'd managed to outwit him. She'd escaped, with Dunsa and the Dragonstone. Even a dragon as small as Kai was worth much gold to such greedy men. Also, if word of the dragon found its way to the Emperor's ears, he would send Imperial guards to arrest her. As far as he was concerned, Ping had helped the only remaining Imperial dragon escape. If he found out that she'd also kept secret the birth of a new dragon, he would be furious. The sun disappeared behind a distant mountain. The sky darkened. Loneliness crept over Ping like a chill, as it always did when she thought of Liu Chir. They had had long conversations together, just the two of them. Although he was the emperor, he was just 10 and 5 years old. He had enjoyed spending time with her. Ping had led the lonely life of an ill-treated slave girl. Yu Chir had lived the pampered life of an overprotected prince. But they had at least one thing in common. Neither of them had ever had friends of their own age. She reached out to spoon some fish soup into her bowl. With her gown pinned down by the sleeping dragon, she could only just reach the pot of bubbling liquid on the fire. Her soup spoon wasn't as roughly made as her bucket, which she'd carved from a log herself. It was a bronze ladle with an elegant curved handle that ended in a dragon's head. She had bought it in the village where she had gone to buy the goat and her store of grain and lentils. An iron ladle would have been much cheaper, but iron hurt dragons when it was nearby. When it touched them, it burned their flesh. Her knife was bronze as well. Ping was relieved that Kai was asleep. There was no squawking. There were no talons digging into her. But evening was her least favorite time of the day. It was the time when she missed her friends the most. Liu Chir wasn't the only friend she'd lost. She had enjoyed the young emperor's company for just a short while, but Dunsa and her pet rat, Hua, had been her companions throughout the perilous journey from the mountains in the west all the way to ocean in the east. Dunsa was a dragon of few words, but he was most talkative in the evenings. Other people thought of rats as dirty, ugly pests, but Hua had been Ping's savior on many occasions. Before Hua had come into her life, Ping had no one. She'd never had a family. Her parents had sold her as a slave to Master Lan when she was small. Old friends and new. Somehow, she'd managed to lose them all. She remembered the sounds that the old dragon made. They hadn't set her teeth on edge like the noises of the baby dragon. Dunce's sounds changed with his mood. The wind chime sound of his conversation sounded melancholy, but meant he was happy. An urgent gonging meant he was impatient with her. The jingle of bells was the sound of his laughter. Then there was the gentle voice that she heard in her mind, translating his sounds into words. When Kai was still inside the Dragonstone, she'd been able to hear him as well. Not in words, but in raw emotions. Sadness, happiness, fear. That ability had disappeared after he hatched. It had flown away with the old dragon. She kept waiting to hear words form in her mind, just as they had with Dancer. But there was nothing. Kai made all sorts of squawks and squeaks, but Ping had to guess what they meant. She rinsed her bowl and filled it with water from a smaller pot on the fire. She sipped the hot water. She'd long ago used up her small supply of tea leaves. Her thoughts darkened with the sky. She tried not to think too much about Dancer and Hua. She wanted to believe that they were both happy and well, healed of their wounds and weariness by the magic waters of the Isle of the Blessed far across ocean. But she couldn't convince herself this was true. At first, she had spent hours staring off to the east in the hope of seeing the old dragon flapping back towards her. But as the months slipped by, Ping had come to accept that he was never coming back. She wasn't even sure if she believed that the Isle of the Blessed existed. Sometimes when she remembered Dancer, it brought tears to her eyes. At other times, she felt frustration and anger bubble up inside her. She was grateful to the old dragon for freeing her from the misery of her life of slavery at Huang Ling Palace. She was thankful for all the knowledge he had given her about herb lore, about the constellations of stars, and how to concentrate her chi power. She owed everything to Dancer. She hadn't even known her own name until he came into her life. At the same time, she was very angry with him. As they had traveled to ocean day after day, li after li, he had taught her much about the world. But the one thing he hadn't told her was how to raise a baby dragon. He hadn't even told her that the dragon stone she carried for him was an egg. Rather than telling her the names of birds and flowers, the mating habits of bears, why hadn't he spent every minute telling her everything he knew about dragon rearing? Instead, he had given her just a few words of advice before he flew away from her and his dragon son forever. It made Ping furious when she thought about it. He had told her the baby dragon needed milk, and she had found a goat herd willing to sell her a she-goat whose baby had died. But she didn't know how much milk Kai needed every day. It seemed he would go on drinking until he burst, if she let him. Dancer had also told her that as Kai grew, he needed to include insects in his diet, and later, small birds. But he hadn't mentioned when and how many. She had started feeding him caterpillars and dragonflies when he was 3 months old, because he was always squawking as if he was hungry. Ping shivered. The fire had died down. It was dark. Her bowl of hot water had gone cold. The sleeping dragon's purple scales glowed faintly in the light from the slender moon. She carried him into the cave where they slept. Inside, a pile of dried grass and pine needles served as a bed. She put Kai on the bed and then lay next to him. Kai slept in a tight coil, with his nose under his back paws and the end of his tail drawn up through the center. It looked as if someone had tied him in a knot. He wriggled closer to Ping until his spine stuck into her side. At least the baby dragon slept well. Ping's nights were peaceful, but she often couldn't sleep. It wasn't the snoring near her ear that kept her awake, but the thoughts churning in her mind. Was Tai Shan the right place for them to live? Should she have stayed near ocean? How would they get through the winter? Chapter 2. A bowl, a bucket, and a ladle. Rain had been falling from a grey sky all morning. Ping stood at the mouth of the cave and watched the drops dimple the pool. Kai had eaten a small breakfast of worms, but it wasn't enough for him. The rain showed no signs of stopping, but sooner or later she would have to go out and milk the goat. She sniffed. There was a bad smell in the air. She sniffed again. It was a sulphurous smell, like rotten bird's egg mixed with long-dead fish. And far too familiar. Ping got up and soon found a large puddle of dark green liquid in a corner of the cave. Kai, I told you to go outside to pee, even if it is raining. The little dragon hung his head. The spines along his back drooped. His scales dulled to the color of plum juice. You're always wet from swimming in the pool, but you can't put up with a few drops of rain. Kai slunk away to the back of the cave and hid his head under his front paws. You'll have to wait for your milk until I've cleaned this up. Ping mopped up the dragon urine with some dry moss, but the smell lingered. The weather showed no sign of improvement. The goat was standing outside with rain dripping from her. Ping didn't feel like getting soaking wet, so she brought the goat inside. She rested her cheek against the animal's damp coat as she milked her. The goat was a patient creature that caused no trouble and put up with the trials of life with the small dragon without complaint. She didn't protest when Kai nipped at her knees or jumped out from behind rocks to frighten her. And every day, without fail, she produced warm milk. Ping filled a bowl. As usual, the dragon was there in a flash, slurping up the milk as if he was starving. Sometimes there was a little left over for Ping to drink. Not this time. Kai lapped up every last drop. The smell of wet goat only added to the stench in the cave, but Ping didn't have the heart to turn the animal out into the rain again. Her food supplies were dwindling. She should have been out collecting nuts, berries, and mushrooms to add to her winter store, not sitting around doing nothing. She stared out through the drizzle. The nearest peaks were dull grey, the ones behind them pale grey. The furthest peaks were a faint outline, almost blending into the mist. Perhaps she'd go out the next day. Kai looked for something to amuse himself inside the cave. He dug up the pine needle bed. He swung on the goat's tail. He chased beetles, but never managed to catch any. He soon got bored with the amusements available to him in the cave and went over to annoy Ping. He climbed onto her lap and walked around in a circle, pricking her legs with his sharp talons until he was ready to settle down. But he wasn't sleepy. He scratched himself behind the ear, chewed on the end of the tie around Ping's waist, and snuffled in her pouch for more insects. It might have been pleasant to have a cat or a puppy sitting on her lap on a cold day. But dragons were not cuddly. Although they were warm-blooded animals, their scales were cold to touch, and Kai had lots of sharp bits that stuck into Ping through her gown. Ping didn't want to add smoke to the already foul air in the cave, so she didn't light a fire. For her midday meal, she ate the nuts and berries that she had collected the day before. Kai ate the last of the insects that were in her pouch, then made a high-pitched whining sound. It meant he was still hungry. Ping took no notice of him, so he snuffled around the cave until he discovered a large moth folded up in a crevice of rock at the back of the cave. He jumped up, trying to reach it, but his huge paws weighed him down like stones. He couldn't jump high enough, no matter how many times he tried. Ping could have got up and caught the moth for him, but the weather had left her as dull and lifeless as the sky. It was cold in the cave. Kai's breath turned to mist. If he wanted to annoy Ping, he could make it linger. The cave filled with a damp white fog, making it seem even colder. The summer weather had softened Ping. It was only autumn, but she was shivering as if it were midwinter. Her gown, though grubby and mended in several places, was still much thicker than the threadbare jacket she'd worn when she was a slave at Huang Ling. There, she hadn't had a warm goatskin to sleep under at night. She'd slept in a draughty ox shed, and Master Lan had forbidden her to light a fire for warmth. The memories made her shiver even more. She needed something warm inside her. She decided that she would light a fire after all. She went out into the rain and quickly collected some damp wood. With her fire-making sticks, she soon made a flame in a tuft of dry grass, but the wet wood wouldn't burn. All she succeeded in doing was filling the cave with smoke. The clatter of something metallic falling on rock came from the back of the cave. Kai had discovered her precious things hidden on a rock shelf that she'd thought was out of his reach. She hadn't realized how much he'd grown. He was standing on his back legs, rummaging through her belongings, knocking them off the shelf and onto the hard stone floor of the cave. "Leave them, Kai," she shouted. "They're mine." There was nothing of interest for him, nothing to eat. He slunk off with his tail dragging on the ground and buried his head under the pine needle bed. Ping didn't scold him again. There was no point. He never took any notice of anything she said. She picked up her scattered things. Among them were precious gifts from friends. There was the bronze mirror that Dancer had given her, and the white jade seal presented to her by the Emperor himself. One end of the slender rectangle of jade had characters cut into its flat surface. The other end was carved into the shape of a dragon. She ran her finger over the cool jade. One corner was chipped where Kai had knocked it to the cave floor. She collected the rest of her things. A comb, and a dragon scale, which were also gifts from the old dragon. There were gold and copper coins, a jade pendant, a dish of seal ink, a bone needle, and a length of red thread. There were several pieces of purple eggshell, all that remained of the dragon stone. There was also a large dried leaf, folded in two. Finally, there was the square of bamboo with her name written on it, given to her by her parents. Some of her belongings were worth a lot of money. Some were worthless. But Ping valued them all. She had always worn the bamboo square around her neck, but Kai had snapped the string several weeks ago. She took a length of the red silk, threaded the bamboo square onto it, and hung it around her neck again. She held the jade seal in one hand and the bronze mirror in the other. They were both symbols of the office of Dragon Keeper, but they each represented very different roles. She inspected the mirror to make sure it wasn't damaged. On one side was an etched design, a full-grown dragon coiled around a knob that protruded from the center. The dragon's paw was reaching out to the knob as if it was something precious, like a pearl. When Ping had accepted the mirror from Dancer, he had warned her that it was a commitment to him and his heirs, for life. Kai was his son, his only heir, and possibly the last living dragon. She had received the mirror gladly, proud to take on the role of Dragon Keeper, but without really understanding the responsibility that came with it, the lonely life she had chosen. The mirror had been carried by all of Dancer's true Dragon Keepers. It was hundreds of years old. She wasn't sure she deserved the honor. She had traveled with the dragon reluctantly at first. It had been her job to feed Dancer, who was held in captivity in Huangling Palace, where she was a slave. She hadn't intended to help him escape. It was actually Dancer who had freed her. He had given her the task of carrying his dragonstone all the way to Ocean. She smiled, remembering how terrified she'd been at the prospect of leaving her miserable home. Ping turned the mirror over. The other side was supposed to be polished bronze. Instead, it was dusty and crisscrossed with the silvery trail of a snail. She slipped it into her pouch. When it stopped raining, she would take it out to the pool and wash it. The jade seal was the badge of the Imperial Dragon Keeper, whose job was to care for dragons owned by the Emperor. Ping should never have accepted the seal. Dancer would have rather died than be held in captivity again. A crackling sound interrupted her thoughts. A small orange flame licked around the wood in the fireplace. Ping blew on the glowing coals, and more flames sprouted. She hung a pot of water over the fire, adding a few red berries that gave it a pleasant flavor. Kai came over to the fire, giving her a wounded look, as if she was the one who had done something wrong. He tripped over the woodpile and fell on his nose. Ping laughed. Dragons are supposed to have excellent eyesight. She could never stay angry with him. Kai sat by the fire. In the light of the flames, his scales glinted like amethyst crystals. He squawked. "And don't think you're getting anything to eat, just because I've put on a pot of water. It's hours till dinner time." The dragon continued squawking and staring at the pot. "I don't know why I bother talking to you. You don't understand a word I say." Ping lifted the pot off the fire with a stick and tilted it to pour the water into her bowl. Kai squawked again. "You don't like hot water," Ping said. The air around the dragon distorted and shimmered. Suddenly, there wasn't a small purple dragon sitting next to the fire, but another pot, exactly the same as the one she was holding. Ping spilt hot water on her hand, she was so surprised. A squawking sound came from the second pot. Ping wondered if she was starting to go mad. Strange things happened to people who lived by themselves. Or was it the endless diet of fish that was making her see things? Ping picked up the soup ladle and held it out to poke the pot. Before she could, the air shimmered again. Ping felt a wave of nausea as she watched the pot turn into another soup ladle with a dragon's head decoration, identical to the one in her hand. "Kai, is that you?" Ping's nausea increased as the second soup ladle turned into a bucket and then into a baby dragon. "You can shape change," The little dragon blinked his big green eyes at her and squawked again. "That's wonderful. What a clever dragon you are." She went to the back of the cave and cupped the sleeping moth in her hands. It fluttered its wings frantically, leaving dusty gray powder on her palms. Ping held the struggling insect out to Kai. "You've earned a reward." The dragon's jaws snapped over the moth and the ends of Ping's fingers. "Good boy, Kai." She kept the fire going all day. Towards evening, the rain stopped. When Kai was asleep, Ping fetched the old dragon's scale from its place at the back of the cave and went outside. The moon had risen early, and the sky glittered with stars. In daylight, the dragon's scale was a faded gray, but in the moonlight, it had a greenish glow. She rubbed her fingers over its rough surface. She wished she could tell Dancer that Kai was showing signs of learning dragonish skills at last. She felt a flicker of hope. If he could shape change, it meant they could move among people. They could go to a market and buy food to see them through the cold months. Perhaps one day, Kai would grow into a proper dragon. Chapter 3. The Red Phoenix. "Let muddy water stand still, and it will gradually clear." The dragon's paw reached out to her. His talons were huge and sharp and could have easily ripped her open, but they touched her hand as delicately as a butterfly. "I don't know what you mean, Dancer," Ping said.
"Ping knows."
"I don't."
"Do."
The dragon opened his wings. They were not torn or scarred, but completely healed. The membrane of the wings was divided into segments by long, thin bones, just like a bat's wings. The full moon came out from behind a cloud. Moonbeams collected in the dragon's body until it glowed luminous green. "Don't leave me alone, Dancer."
"Must go."
She tried to run towards the dragon, but her feet wouldn't move. She looked down. The rest of the earth was as dry as a sun-bleached bone, but her feet were in a puddle of sticky mud. She couldn't pull them out. The dragon lifted off the ground. "Please don't leave me," she wailed. "Help me get onto your back."
"The even way is often the rough track."
The beautiful moonbeam dragon flapped up into the night sky. The more Ping tried to drag her feet out of the grasping mud, the further they sank. The dragon shrank to a small dot of light, and then she lost him among the stars. A wind blew up, whipping leaves and small stones into the air. One of the stones hit her sharply on the nose. It stung, but the ache in her heart hurt much more. Ping woke up to find a small purple dragon nipping her nose. "Kai, I wish you'd find a less painful way to wake me," she said as she sat up. The despair of the dream was still with her. She didn't dream of Dancer often, but when she did, the dreams were heartbreaking. He seemed to be trying to tell her something, but she could never understand his message. It took a few minutes for her to summon the strength to face the day. The excitement of finding out that Kai could shape change soon wore off. Ping's stomach was constantly churning with the sick feeling she got whenever she saw the dragon transform. She tried not to watch, but it was hard to avoid as he changed from one thing to another when she was least expecting it. Kai's shape changed into whatever he laid his eyes on. One minute he was a bush, the next a turtle. Then he was a bowl. Ping tried to encourage him to stay in one shape, rewarding him with treats of tufty brown caterpillars. They were Kai's favourite food, but Ping didn't like collecting them because they squirted sticky green stuff at her when she picked them off leaves. As usual, Kai didn't understand a word Ping said. He ate the caterpillars and then changed into something else. Ping's optimism faded. Walking around with a bowl that turned into a bush or a bucket before people's eyes would cause just as much fuss as carrying a baby dragon. Ping knew that dragons could live for thousands of years if they maintained good health. That was one thing that Dancer had told her. After 5 times 100 years, a dragon grew horns. After 1,000, it grew wings. Perhaps it took hundreds of years for them to learn their dragon skills. Even if Ping lived to be 100, Kai would still be a very young dragon. He might still need looking after. A question had been forming at the back of Ping's mind ever since the dragon was hatched. Who would look after Kai when she died? One day she would have to find someone to take her place. She could teach them everything she knew about dragons, but would anyone want to take on such a task? Ping scanned the surface of the pond. There wasn't a dragonfly in sight. She had searched the nearby bushes and hadn't found a single caterpillar. She hadn't bothered to go out looking for moths the night before. Now she had no insects for Kai's breakfast. Kai was swimming in the pool as he did every fine day. When he walked, he was clumsy and awkward, always tripping over rocks or fallen branches. In the water, he moved quickly and gracefully, diving towards rocks on the bottom of the pond and gliding away from them at the last second. "I'll be glad when you can catch your own insects," she said, when he next came up for air. Ping peered into the dark waters. She could see large water beetles, striped with black and yellow, diving among the reeds. She had collected the larvae of these creatures for Kai to eat, but it wasn't the season for them now. The beetles were big. 3 or 4 of them would make a good meal for the little dragon. "Why don't you catch them instead of just chasing them?" Ping grumbled. Since he took no notice of this suggestion, she decided to catch them herself. She fetched the fishing net that she had woven from thin, flexible twigs and dipped it into the pond. It only took her a few minutes to catch 5 beetles. "Try these, Kai," she said. "They look like they'll make a tasty meal." Kai pulled himself out of the pond. He sniffed at the beetles that were squirming in the net. "That's all you're getting this morning," Ping said. Kai squawked. "All right, I'll squash them for you," Ping said. She emptied the beetles out onto a flat rock and crushed them with the stone she used to pound grain. Kai sniffed them again. He licked at the yellow stuff oozing from the squashed beetle shells. Then he picked one of them up in his mouth. He crunched the shell and then spat it out again. Ping sighed. "If you don't like them, you'll have to make do with milk." Ping went over to where the goat was tethered. She knelt down and rested her cheek against her flank. The goat continued to crop the grass. "I wish Kai was as easy to feed as you are," she said. Kai started making noises again. Not the complaining squawks he made when he was hungry. Not the noise he made when he wanted Ping to play with him. It was a hoarse, coughing sound. Ping turned and saw that the dragon was retching. She ran over to him. "What's wrong, Kai?" Ping patted him on the back, which was not easy to do to a creature with sharp spines from head to tail. He didn't seem to be able to take a breath. Ping thought that he must have been choking, that he had swallowed something and it was caught in his throat. She banged harder on his back. He still didn't breathe. Then, with one last retch, he vomited into Ping's lap. In among the unpleasant milky mix of dragonfly legs and caterpillar skin was a squashed water beetle. Kai made a plaintive sound and lay down. His eyes looked dull. His tongue was no longer bright red. His scales had turned the color of a bruise. She brought the bowl of milk over to him, but he wouldn't drink. Ping carried him into the cave and laid him on the bed of pine needles. She gently rubbed the little dragon's stomach. "I'm sorry, Kai," she said. "I shouldn't have given you the beetles to eat." Ping felt ashamed. When she had first introduced insects into Kai's diet, she had given him tiny little tastes at first. Then, if there was no bad reaction after a day, she gave him a little more, increasing the amount over a week until she was sure that the insect wasn't poisonous. She had grown careless. She could have killed him. Ping didn't have any breakfast herself. It didn't seem fair to eat when Kai couldn't. She sat by him all day, stroking his stomach. At last, late in the night, he stopped groaning and went to sleep. Kai ate a little the next morning. By mid-afternoon, he was back to his usual tricks, annoying the goat, messing up the bed, and demanding food every hour. As Ping put a freshly squashed dragonfly in her pouch, her hand brushed the mirror. She remembered her promise to clean it. She took it over to the pool. The sun warmed her face. She had a feeling that there wouldn't be many more warm days before winter set in. She glanced around, but couldn't see Kai. "Where are you, Kai?" she said. He had been quiet for too long. It was always a sign that he was up to mischief. There was a branch under one of the pine trees that hadn't been there before. "I want you to stay close to the cave," she said to the branch. It didn't respond. "Just until I'm sure you're completely well." There was a squawk behind her. She turned to find the little dragon sitting at her heels. She had been talking to a tree branch. One big disadvantage of Kai's newfound shape-changing powers was that even when he was under her nose, she couldn't always find him. It would take a while for him to get the hang of this new skill, just like a child learning to walk. She had to be patient. The mirror fitted into the palm of her hand. She dipped a corner of her gown in the pool and wiped the mirror clean. She could see her reflection. Her hair was knotted, and there were leaves tangled in it. Her face was dirty and scratched. There was a scab on her nose. And she was thinner. She had been so busy taking care of the baby dragon, she had forgotten to take care of herself. Ping remembered when Danza had made her bathe and comb her hair. The memory brought a smile to her face, but a pain to her heart. Memories of the old dragon always had that effect on her. He would have disapproved if he saw her hair in such a state. She went back into the cave to get her comb. It was a beautiful thing made of ebony, inlaid with mother of pearl. She started to comb her hair. As she combed, She stared out at the endless sky. She noticed a black spot in the distance towards the east. She rubbed her eyes, but the spot didn't go away. It grew bigger. As she looked, it took shape. It was a bird flying towards Taishan. It continued to grow in size as it flew closer and closer until it was right above her. It was a big bird. At first, she thought it was a trick of the sunlight, but the bird appeared to be bright red. It flapped down and landed in a pine tree. It was like no bird Ping had ever seen. It had three long tail feathers that curled at the ends. On its head was an upright crest. It folded its large wings. The bird was red, the color of ripe berries. It was a red phoenix. As Ping stared at it, she could also see that there was a hump on the bird's back. She couldn't make out what it was. It wasn't covered in red feathers like the rest of the bird. It was gray. A rock beneath the tree let out a terrified squawk and turned back into a baby dragon. Kai ran to Ping, leaping up onto her and wrapping himself around her neck. He buried his nose under her hair and wound the tip of his tail around her ear. Ping tried to unwind the little dragon, but he was clamped like a shellfish on a rock. "I can't breathe, Kai," she spluttered. As Ping staggered about, trying to free herself, she could see the bird, unaware of the fuss it had caused, preening its startling tail feathers. Each one was as long as Ping's arm and ended in a rainbow-colored eye spot. The gray shape on the phoenix's back shifted. It broke away from the bird's body and moved quickly down the tree trunk. Whatever it was alive and heading straight for Ping. She wished she had something to hide behind, but there was nothing. She reached for the soup ladle. It was the only thing close by that she could use to protect herself. The gray blur ran straight toward her. She tried to hit it with the ladle, but it was too quick. It clambered up her gown as if it was going to attack the little dragon. Kai squawked with terror, leapt to the ground, and ran to the pond. He dived into the water. Ping tried to pull the gray thing off her. She thought it was going to take her by the throat, but instead it crawled inside her gown. She screamed, got hold of the creature, and flung it away. It landed neatly on 4 feet. Ping saw for the first time what it was. It was a rat. But it was no ordinary rat. It was very large, and it was staring at her with bright blue eyes. In the sunlight, its fur had a bluish sheen, like embroidered satin. It also had a chunk missing from one ear. Ping stared at the rat. She had known another rat with a piece missing from its ear. Is that... Ping could hardly bring herself to say it. Is that you, Hua? She sat down, stunned. The rat scuttled onto her lap, looked up at her, and squeaked. Ping stared at the rat. She reached out and cautiously stroked its warm fur. "It is you, Hua," Ping said. "You're healed and you've grown and..." She stared at the rat's blue eyes, his huge yellow teeth. "And you've changed." She hugged Hua to her, examined his bluish fur, and then hugged him again. The smile on her face kept growing. "I'm so glad to see you." The rat gently nibbled her ear. The red phoenix finished preening its feathers. flapped its wings, and took off. Ping watched until it was no more than a black dot in the sky.